I am honored and thrilled to pieces to meet our soloist, Andre Watts. Andre, congratulations and welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
That was truly a magnificently powerful performance. Your level of communication and engagement with the orchestra was extraordinary and very different. I feel like you brought out the lines of the orchestra in a very unusual way. Is that something you were consciously striving for?
No, not really. Well, you know, I'm old, and so now when I look at these pieces, you know, and I relearn them, I try to be more direct, perhaps, than previously. I'm not sure. Anyway, I sort of try to pay attention about what the expressivity really consists of. And, you know, as you very well know, all concertos are really very large chamber music. And so I do think very strongly about that.
It was really majestic and truly wonderful to hear. You know, it's amazing to think what a relatively youthful work this Grieg concerto is.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he played it for Liszt, and Liszt was very taken with the and the sort of in the coda of the last movement, that the tune, which has constantly gone to a G sharp, suddenly goes to G natural, and so I'm sure some of the story is apocryphal, but probably not all. It's not so generally known. Rachmaninoff thought this was the perfect piano concerto. But he said that he thought the Grieg was the perfect piano concerto. But I think he meant in the sense of pianism and emotionality and well put together. It's a quite special piece.
Speaking of style and Franz Liszt, it's Leonard Bernstein's centennial year. And your career was launched at 16 with legendary performances of Liszt's E-flat major piano concerto with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic. What to you made Leonard Bernstein's conducting unique and working with him?
Oh, gosh, long list. We don't have enough time. I'll tell you. I think that maybe the biggest thing is at the moment of performing, he really didn't interest himself in anything else. But as complete, total immersion as possible and pulling out what you thought the music needed, what he thought the music needed at that point. He didn't worry about, you know, people talk about his mannerisms and whatnot. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, it was not for show. It was just his wild enthusiasm, and in a way, you know, must be something in the air that I keep coming up with Damon or Demon, you know. But the thing inside him, his freak gift, this genius basically that he had, he was willing to let that take him over, and to utilize that without self awareness, self-correction, all those things, self-judgment at the moment. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, yes. But at the moment, it was just the completeness of wanting to express what he believed the composer wanted. That, I think, is the biggest thing. I played the Liszt E-flat with him for a young people's concert and then a Glenn Gould substitution. I played that concerto the following season for an entire year. I played probably 8 or 9 performances of the piece. And really, I can say it's so long ago, and it is true. I practiced very, very hard. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it better, and I played with really great conductors. And it was never as good.
Oh.
I couldn't understand why it wasn't as good. I was playing better. I was trying harder. These were great people I was working with. It took me over a year to figure out it was Bernstein. Yeah. And his weird ability, which I wouldn't even begin to try to explain, of he would take everybody and lift them up. Everybody in his orbit played to the best of their capabilities and perhaps beyond.
Oh, that is fascinating. Do you see any similarities in the enthusiasm and energy of Bernstein with Yannick Nézet-Séguin?
I know what you mean. It's very interesting. Actually, I have the pleasure and pride of being His first soloist ever conducting this orchestra. Mm. The palpable joy, I don't mean superficial joy, I mean the joy of pleasure, the sort of bone marrow enjoyment of music that comes out. Yes, it's very similar. It is similar. I never thought about it, but thank you for reminding me.
Finally, you are a cancer survivor, and you look extraordinarily healthy, vital. Your playing is as youthful as ever, with so much energy and power. Do you have a message for anyone who's been through what you have been through?
Well, you know, I can only speak from what I know. It's important not to identify yourself as cancer, as the cancer, and not to make your entire identification as, well, I have cancer, I'm a cancer patient. I am officially now in remission. I still take oral chemo medication and whatnot. But the last time I saw my oncologist, he also suggested to me, because I said, you know, the concert part, not being able to play and having to cancel all that has been very difficult. And he said, well, just don't think about yourself as a person having cancer. You don't technically have cancer. You do, because it doesn't go away, but in this case. But you're in remission, and you should just, you know, you should go on and think positively. So that, I think, is no. Be careful of what your identification is. So that really did get me thinking, you know, and then you, when you get involved in an illness like this, if you kind of can, I mean, with all the difficulties, keep your eyes open. There are people who have survived, surmounted, one hesitates to say, but it is a reality, have improved themselves as human beings as a result of this horrible thing happening. Mm. So I just have to look forward and look beyond and not be stuck. Very difficult, I think, but it's important to not be stuck.
Well, you certainly are not stuck, Andre Watts. You are so eloquent, both in your pianism and in your speaking about so many different subjects. We want to thank you from the bottoms of our hearts for spending time with us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you very much.